so grateful. We've got a God that answers prayer. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Our failure, my failure, is certainly that I don't ask enough. You can be standing with me this morning, and please turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Read some verses from here. The Lord directs. I want to look at this wonder. To me, it's a wonder that Jesus loves me. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking in the Gospel of John in chapter 15. We begin reading there in verse 9, where Jesus says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." Father, we bow before you, hopefully with yielded hearts, submitted hearts, desiring to hear from you today. These dear folk, they don't need to hear from Jim Turner, but they and I desperately need to hear from you. I'm asking you, Lord, to take your word, open it before our hearts and our understanding. Pray, Father, that you would enlighten us to be able to receive your truth, your teaching to us. Father, I'm asking you in Jesus' name that you'd speak to every heart right where it's at today, regardless of the need, regardless of the situation. I pray, Father, for every believer within this auditorium today. Pray that we would hear your words to us concerning how you love us. Well, Lord, I also pray for anyone that may be here in our presence today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Father, please, please lift up your Son, exalt him, magnify him, and Lord, as you would please draw savingly, gloriously to yourself, and we will be quick and sure to give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise for what you would do in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Of course, you may be seated. Make one of the understatements of the century. You ready for that? There's a lot of things about God that truly amaze me. Indeed, that's an understatement. The very thought that he would speak the universe into existence is beyond this man's comprehension. God said, "Let there be," and it was. There was. The fact that he is the beginning and the end of all knowledge is astounding. It's astounding. It always amazes me when the atheist will say he doesn't believe there is a God. Simple question. Do you believe that you know all there is to know? Their answer is going to be what? Well, of course not. Huh? God knows everything. From beginning to end. The reality that the infinite, eternal, all-powerful God took upon himself flesh and blood, was born of a young Jewish maid, a virgin, grew up and lived a sinless life, and then died upon a criminal's cross baffles me. Baffles me. But considering it all, the thing that amazes me more than any of these mind-boggling things and a myriad of others is the wonder that Jesus loves me. That Jesus would love me. The Apostle Paul writes to the churches there in the region of Galatia. And he makes an astounding declaration in chapter 2 and in verse 20. You know those words, where the Apostle Paul declares, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me." Who loved me and gave himself for me. He loved me. He loved me. Now, as we read those words, beloved, let it sink. This was a very personal statement from the lips of the Apostle Paul. Very personal to him. And we see from the Word of God, or prayerfully, we'll see from the Word of God today, that we too that are saved can make it personal as well. Personal. It's a very simple message for this morning. The weakness is that I don't know if I have the ability, I don't know if I'm capable to communicate what's truly on my heart. But I pray for us that we would be able to see just how amazing it is that Jesus Christ loves us. My hope is that we can all leave today rejoicing in his love for us. Rejoicing in it. We see here, first of all, in this passage, that Jesus' love for me transcends any other kind of love. It transcends his love for me, his love for you, if you know him, transcends the love of a friend. Now, there is the example, of course, from life, different examples. There's that brotherhood that exists amongst the soldiers on the battlefield. There's a camaraderie, a dependence on each other, a loyalty, even a security that exists between those whose loves literally depend on each other. There's also the example, the love of family members for one another. Within a family, there is a God-designed bond. A God-initiated bond that creates a very special relationship. It's a beautiful bond that members of a family share from the moment they join it by birth till their death. On the other side of that, we understand that we can't choose our family members other than our spouse. The Lord Jesus describes his love in this passage we just read as the love of a friend. Interesting. But not just a casual, friendly acquaintance. No. His is not the love of a fair weather friend who loves you as long as everything's going great. His love for me, again, his friend. We'll see more about that as we go along. His love for me, his friend, is a sacrificial love. It is a love that is not only willing, to do for me, but he did do for us. It's a sacrificial love. It is that love that was not only willing to die, but he did die. It wasn't just talk. And so often we're guilty of, oh, I love you. Really? Jesus loved us. And he expressed that love by dying for us, not just talk. Isn't it amazing? Jesus loves me. But we also see that Jesus' love for me transcends. Now, this might sound strange, but his love for me transcends all of our enemies, all of my enemies. You say, oh, preacher, do you have enemies? I was sharing in my Sunday school. I have at least three. I have at least three, and I know of three. This world, my own flesh, and the devil are my enemies. They are indeed my enemies. We read this passage and we come away from it with a firm but yet wonderful assurance that there is nothing that can break the love of God for us. In Romans, please turn with me if you would. I don't know if I mentioned this, to Romans chapter 8. Nothing can break that bond of his love for us. I want to read a few verses from there. Picking up in Romans chapter 8, in verse 35, the Apostle Paul, when he's writing to that church there, that local church there in the city of Rome, and he says to them, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, it's a rhetorical question, but he's going to answer his question for us. He goes on to say, shall tribulation or distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, any of those things? As it is written, Paul continues, he's quoting from Psalm 44, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We'll come back to that thought in a moment. But Paul goes on and he says, nay, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors. What? Through him that loved us. Through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul is convinced, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. From the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh my. Wow. We read this passage again, as we mentioned. We read this passage and we must come away from it with that assurance, do we not, of God's love. The depth of God's love. Going back there to verse 36, the Apostle Paul, again quoting from Psalm 44, he says, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Paul there is likening that New Testament believer with that Old Testament believer, that were often persecuted, often sacrificed, often even gave their lives for the things of God. And the Apostle Paul is again assuring those he was writing to that though they may suffer, though they may endure persecution, it does not in any way hinder or stop or break your relationship, your loving relationship with God. Oh my. Beloved, right now as we sit here, we think we have it rough in these United States of America dealing with this crazy virus and what's going on with that. But right now, as we sit here, there are Christians in places like India, certainly in China, the Sudan, Pakistan, Iran, and the list could go on and on and on, where believers in Jesus Christ meet to worship him, not knowing what may happen to them. not knowing if the door may be broke down by the radical Hindus or the Muslims or the political tyrants that rule over them. Break down those doors. Persecute them. Beat them. Abuse their families. Burn their churches. Burn their homes. Why would they dare? Why would they dare go on and even worship the Lord Jesus Christ? Why? Because they have experienced His love. Because they have experienced the love of Jesus Christ, and they will not allow anything to dissuade them, to keep them from returning their worship unto He that is worthy of it. But the Apostle Paul, who certainly understood such things, he certainly understood what it was like to be persecuted for his faith. He understood these things, and in spite of it, he declares in our passage that in all these things, in all these things, we not only have the victory, but that we are more than. I like that. We are more than conquerors. What? Through Him.
That's right.
That loved us. We're conquerors through Him that loved us. Oh, yes, beloved. The wonder of it. The wonder of how Jesus loves me. But then thirdly, very quickly, Jesus' love for me. Not saying much in my case. But Jesus' love for me transcends my understanding. When Paul wrote to that local church there in the city of Ephesus in chapter 3 and verse 19, he said this to them. He wrote to them and he said, and to know, listen to that, and to know or to understand, to experience the love of Christ which passes all understanding. That word passeth means to go far beyond. Goes beyond knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now this morning we're trying to do a little bit better. We're trying to understand this love a little bit better. A little bit more about this love of Jesus for us. But still, beloved, even with that, I know I'm an utter failure. Because His love surpasses our understanding of it. How can we sufficiently, how can any preacher, let alone this preacher, sufficiently put into words the love of Jesus Christ for us? I don't think it's possible. Why? Because it's beyond understanding. It's beyond our knowledge. But then as well, fourthly, Jesus' love for me. Now listen to this. Jesus' love for me transcends His own well-being. What was better for Him? Well, I hate to always be lambasted in the generation in which we live, but we're certainly, if we've never been before, we certainly are now in the me generation. It's all about number one. But Jesus' love for us transcends His own well-being. We've quoted some of these verses, but it's amazing what the Bible says. Listen to this. We quoted Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 a few minutes ago, where Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and what? Gave Himself. Gave Himself for me. For me. Again, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, Paul says this, walk in love, live in love. as Christ also hath loved us. In the same way as Christ also hath loved us. And what? Given himself. Given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. Talked about this little word a few weeks ago. I don't know why it is. I'm fascinated, you all know this by now, by little words. They fit, those little words fit into my little brain very well. But I love that word "for" as it's applied in these verses. Jesus died for us. Gave himself for us. Yeah. Gave himself in my place. In your place. Stick with me. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says this: husbands, love your wives. Huh? Husbands, love your wives, even as, again, in the same way, even as Christ also loved the church. Amen. Jesus loved his church. Amen. Even as Christ also loved the church, his bride, and what? Gave himself for it. Sacrificed himself for it. The Apostle John agrees. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle John writes in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us." What? Yes. "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Gave himself for us. Shed his blood to make that payment for our sins. Dear ones, beloved, do you notice something that these verses tell us about the love of Jesus for you and for me? Should be obvious. Jesus' love for me. Jesus' love for you caused him, as we read here over and over, caused him, moved him to give his life for us. To give his life for us. It's a favorite theme of the Apostle Paul in his letters. What Jesus Christ did for us because of his love. Obviously, it is something. I think it's obvious that Paul never got over that. And it's obvious as well that it's something you and I should never get over. I don't ever want to get over that. I've shared this before with you, my testimony, that it was this truth that brought me to Jesus Christ. We want to preach about hell. We want to preach about all this that the world's going off its rocker, and we all understand that it is. Yeah. Surely is. But where's the message of the love of God? Right. Through Jesus Christ for sinners? Why should it amaze the Apostle Paul that Jesus loved him? Of course God would love the great Apostle Paul. But oh no, that's not how Paul saw it. Paul was amazed. It was a wonder to Paul that Jesus would love him. Surely it was. It was. Paul too was amazed that Jesus was love him because he knew what he was. He knew what he was. And you and I sitting in this room know ourselves. We know what we are. Paul writing to his young friend, Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, he says this is a faithful saying. This is a true saying, Paul's saying. This is a faithful, it is a reliable saying. And worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
That's right.
And then Paul makes this declaration, of whom I am chief. Does it sound to you that Paul was amazed that God would love him? Was Paul, even as we read his own testimony there, was he the worst sinner that ever lived? Hardly. Certainly he was indeed a sinner, just as you and I are sinners. But when Paul looked into his own heart, he saw the hideousness. He saw the ugliness of his own sin. And it's ugliness in the eyes of God. And it moved him to feel that no one, surely no one, could be as rotten, as a wretched sinner as I am. And we, you and I, do well to find ourselves in that same place. We'd have a whole lot more mercy for the lost that are all around us. Compassion for their souls. Dear friend, you will not rightly appreciate Jesus' love for you until you sense that same truth concerning your sin. For the Apostle Paul, it was not, "I know I'm a sinner." I know I'm a sinner. It's easy to confess that. I know I'm a sinner, but at least I'm not as bad as that guy down the street. I'm not as bad as that mass murderer. I am a sinner, but I'm surely not as bad as those abortionists or baby killers. Millions of babies sacrificed. No, beloved. Paul saw himself as the chief of sinners. That's why he could preach the gospel with such passion.
Man.
With such patience and compassion. Jesus loves me, beloved. Get this. Jesus loves me in spite of me. But then lastly, we see that Jesus, and we should have this by now in these verses. Jesus loves for me transcends all my sin. Jesus' love for me transcends all my sin. I don't know if you're still there in Paul's letter to the Romans, but turn over to chapter 5 if you would. Romans chapter 5. Let me read a few verses here. Romans 5, picking up there in verse 5. It says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God," get this, "the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." What's that mean? It means that the love of God is poured out. The idea of the word is a beautiful word. It has the idea of gushing out. What does he say? That the love of God is poured out in our hearts. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Should it not be a beautiful thing in our lives? And he goes on and says, "For when," do you remember when you were still lost? When you were without hope that Paul talks of here. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It may be that there's some even in this room today that battle battle with the past. What was before? You realize that you've broken God's law. You've broken the Word of God. And you know you stand guilty before God's Word, God's law. And Satan doesn't want to let you forget it. Satan's great at continually reminding you of how guilty you are. You know what? He's right. He's right. I'm not trying to be ugly, but every last one of us in this room is a low-down, no-good sinner.
Man.
And Satan loves reminding us. But listen to this that we just read a moment ago. This is a faithful saying. Paul's confessing it. It's a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to this world to save sinners just like me, just like you.
That's right.
Came to save sinners. Beloved, please remember this. Remember this. But remember when Satan reminds you of your sin, remind him that Jesus loves you. You say, that's simplistic. Yeah, I know. But it's absolutely true. And our defense against him is Jesus Christ and his love for us. That Jesus loves you and gave himself for you. You might protest, preacher, you just don't know. You don't know how horrible things I've done. You don't know the ugliness of the things that I've done in my life. You're right. I don't. And it goes vice versa as well. Same goes for me. But because of Jesus' love for us, we can join the Apostle Paul as he cried out. Look with me. You're there in Romans. Look over a couple pages to his letter, to the seventh chapter, Romans 7. No, listen to this. Picking up there in verse 24, Romans 7, verse 24. Listen to this. Can you identify with this? Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of this death? Where's my hope? Who will help me? Paul answers, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He says, yes, there's this battle. This warfare, but Jesus has won the war. Jesus died for me. He delivered me. He delivered me. Amen. Yes, we are wretched sinners. But because Jesus loves us and because he gave himself for us, Paul could also proclaim in chapter 8, verse 1. Oh my. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Do I hear that? Don't listen to Satan. God doesn't condemn you if you're in Christ.
That's right.
There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Look back, if you would, Romans chapter 5. I love the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. Don't know to read the whole passage again, but let's just go down to verse 8. Those famous words, Romans 5, 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's an overwhelming message here. It is a message that the self-righteous hate because it takes away anything they could do. Self-righteous hate that message. It's a message that the intellectual despises because, after all, I don't need a Savior. I'm above all that. But, beloved, listen to this. That verse is a message that the sinner glories in. Do you listen to me? God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Glory to God. Glory to God. Those word commendeth, the idea of that word means to demonstrate, to show, to manifest. God commendeth, He demonstrates His love towards us. Thank God for the King James Bible. I just praise God for this dependable Bible. Commendeth. That little old ETH, say, well, I can't understand all them strange words in that there Bible. I need one that's easier to read. It's not that hard. In fact, you'll get light from the King James Bible that those modern translations don't have the ability to give you because of their corruptness. That little old ETH tells me that this word, not going to give a grammar lesson, okay? But it means it's in the present tense. It means it's something that goes on and goes on. Something that is unending. It's present tense. Something that is always present. Listen to this. Listen to this. That means that it was something that was true when Jesus died for us. He commendeth His love toward us. Huh? Something that was true when Jesus died for us, and it's true right now, presently. Amen. He continues, beloved, right now, present tense, to manifest, to commend, to show His love to us. Amen. Right now. He demonstrates that love. God loves us right now and will. Now listen to this. All of you that any way, shape or form, fear that you could lose your salvation. God loved me before I was saved. He loved me when He died for me. And He'll continue to love me all the way.
Right.
Huh? Forever and forever and forever. Huh. Oh my. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it's a wonder. Listen to me. Listen to me as we read this passage, that passage. Listen to me again, Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, in God's time, Christ died for you and me, the ungodly. Even though, now listen to this, no strength, no ability is what Paul's saying. Not a person in this room had the ability to save themselves ever. Huh? No man born of man has ever had the ability to save himself. They were without strength. That includes this man. Huh? Even though it was hopeless for me, even though I was helpless to do anything to make myself right with God, even though I am without question an ungodly sinner, even though I am not innocent, nor is there anything righteous or good about me. Jesus loved me and gave himself for me. It is indeed an amazing wonder that Jesus loves me. But this I know for the Bible tells me so. We've looked at a few of the verses and passages that talk about the love of God, the love of Jesus for us. We could go on the rest of the day talking about how God loved us, how Jesus loved us. Let me ask you, though, do you know him? I don't know your heart. I don't know the heart of a single person in this room, man, woman, boy, girl. I don't know your heart. I ask you, do you know Jesus? Do you know the love of Jesus Christ? Listen to me. The Bible says that God so what? Loved the world. Do you fit in there? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus, his Son, that whosoever, that means anyone, that whosoever believeth, puts their trust, their hope of salvation in him, shall not perish. Will not come under the wages of sin that we've read about. But have what kind of life? Everlasting life. Because, dear ones, what Jesus Christ did on that hideous, ugly cross, you can plug your name into the whosoever will of John 3:16. Whosoever believeth, receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, will know that cleansing and forgiveness of sin and receive everlasting life in him. To those that are saved, I'd just like to say this. Please listen to this. We were in John 15. I just want to read a couple more verses there. John 15, verses 12 through 14 says this. This is my commandment. This is Jesus' commandment. This one who loved us so. Excuse me. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. It's love. Then verse 14, he says this, ye are my friends. Did you get that? Are you Jesus' friend? Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Dear church, brothers and sisters in Christ, the question again, I assume it's the affirmative here. Are you Jesus' friend? his command that his friends love each other. Not what we just read? His command is that we, his friends, love each other. Love each other. How? We're to love each other the same way he loved us. He loved us, what? How do we say earlier? Sacrificially. He loved us selflessly. He loved us completely, totally. The question is, as we would close, is that what the world sees in us? What is the world seeing when they encounter you and I? Can world see this lost world? When I speak of the world, I mean this lost world in which we find ourselves. Can the lost world see, hear, experience the love of Jesus Christ through us? If we're his friends, it should. Let's stand together. Father, I come to you once again in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, please, I plead with you to take your word. We've read much here this morning from your word. I'm praying that you would take that word, reveal it to hearts, my heart, every heart. Oh God, I pray that you'd be pleased, Lord, to show yourself the great, mighty, loving God that you are. I pray, Father, for anyone here today that isn't saved, pray that the love of Jesus would become real in their life. Pray, Father, that they would want that love, the love that you would extend to them. You gave yourself for them. Lord, please, I'm asking you in that name of Jesus, you wouldn't permit a single soul to leave this place without knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior today. But also, Lord, I pray for every believer within these walls. And Lord, I pray, it start right behind this desk, that your love would be seen in us, heard from us, experience through us, Lord, as you would love this world through us. Lord, I pray, oh God, might Metropolitan Baptist Church be a beacon for Jesus Christ, that this message of the gospel, a message, Father, of the expression, the manifestation of your love for a lost and dying world. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, make it real for each and every one of us. Oh, God, please. This world so desperately needs to see real Christians. Folks that are in love with Jesus and know his love. Lord, I'm asking. And as we sing, Lord, I pray that you wouldn't allow us to hide behind the words of a song or get lost in the music, but that your Spirit would deal with us. Deal with us, please, Lord. In Jesus' lovely name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother John.
Page 163. Only trust Him.
Amen. Please do what the Lord would have you to do today.
Come every soul, my sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting.
Praise the Lord for His amazing love, the wonder of it. I want to just never get over that. I think when we get over that, we start seeing too much of ourselves, too much of the ugliness that's all around us, and not enough of Him, not enough of Jesus. Brother John, come.
Chorus for this month. I was thinking of the chorus, I love Him. I love Him, I love Him, because He first loved me and purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Can we sing that?
I love Him. I love Him.